booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. I'm Frank Morano.
Oh, my God. I'm Juliet Huddy. I'm so excited.
Why are you excited?
Oh, my God. He's there.
Oh.
He's there. Hollywood is out there.
Hollywood Rosenberg.
Look at him. Oh, my gosh. Hi, how are you?
You're weak at the knees, Juliet. I've never seen you flustered in such a manner.
I can't wait to hear about his big Hollywood debut.
My goodness.
Down in Florida.
That's right. He's back.
He's back.
Sid Rosenberg, back from Florida. Hollywood Rosenberg.
That's right.
He will tell us all about his excursion filming the television program Gravesend.
Yeah, meantime, here's what you're going to be talking about today around the water cooler. He's one of former Trump's biggest cheerleaders, but reports say the love for embattled Congressman Matt Gaetz doesn't go both ways. And there's also some breaking news this morning about Congressman Gaetz. And there's also a new push to start building the border wall, and you're never going to guess by whom.
Wow.
Yeah, and in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, a state park where you can see the tombs of everyone from the Queen of Mean to the Astors, and you may even run into the Headless Horseman himself.
All right, and it would not be the WABC Early News without the able assistance of Joe Nolan, who brings you the traffic and transit information every 10 minutes on the 7s, just as he will do now at 5:07.
Going to start on the Garden State Parkway southbound, down by Route 100. An accident. The two center lanes are out. That's by exit 100, so as you head that way, allow a lot of time. The northbound on 15E, this is on the eastern spur. There had been a disabled tractor trailer and a fuel spill. They are still working on that. Verrazano Bridge, lower level getting to Staten Island, upper level getting over to Brooklyn. Closed that for road work. Same thing on the Sawmill, both ways up by Ashford Avenue and 34th Avenue. This is over in Queens. Again, that big building fire of yesterday and alternate side of the street parking rules again today are going to be in effect. This supportive service of LifeLock. Identity thieves love tax forms with personal info added to steal your identity. That's why LifeLock helps you protect, monitor, and restore your identity. No one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code RISK. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, it's going to be a nice day today. 70 degrees. Cloudy in the early hours. We'll have peaks of sunshine expected later on, though. Again, a high of 70. Tomorrow's looking very nice. 68 degrees, mostly sunny skies. And Friday, unfortunately, the temperatures drop and the clouds roll in. We're going to have a high of about 59 degrees with cloudy skies. I don't see much sun, if any. Saturday, now this is a good development. Saturday, I thought we were supposed to have some showers, but it looks like the showers won't come in until Sunday. At least that's how it's looking at this point. But it will be 63 degrees on Saturday with some clouds. Sunday, 60 degrees and showers into Monday. It is 51 degrees right now in New York City.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:09, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. Students living in two Columbia University dormitories are being told they must get a COVID test after the virus was detected in the building's sewage system. Those who refuse to be tested have been told they can be kicked out of the residences. School officials say they've been testing wastewater as a way to stay ahead of any new COVID outbreaks. Two students tested positive for the virus in a different dormitory building last week.
And don't tread on us. Governor Greg Abbott is the second state leader to ban vaccine passports. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made the same move last week. Abbott says Texans shouldn't need proof to go about their daily lives or reveal private health information. Earlier this week, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the feds weren't planning on mandating documentation of COVID vaccines. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday reiterating Fauci's comments during her Tuesday briefing.
Now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. As these tools are being considered by the private and nonprofit sectors.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. They are being considered by the private sectors. Many business owners want the option of deciding for themselves whether to allow people who haven't been vaccinated to enter their properties. Meantime, some companies who rely on customers or workers from other countries worry that because not every country has the ability to distribute vaccines yet, Demanding proof of a vaccination is not fair. The CDC, meantime, announced this week that the U.S. will not be requiring proof of a vaccination before entering the country, but you will have to show proof of a negative test before you depart for the states and upon arrival.
The NYPD is reporting an increase in crime, including 31 anti-Asian hate crimes since the start of the year. Cops say these hate incidents were reported from January 31st through March 31st, adding that there were zero anti-Asian hate crimes reported during the first 3 months of 2020. Overall, crime increased by 2.5% during March. Murders were up last month by 36%.
Well, there's some breaking news this morning, an explosive report out of the New York Times. Congressman Matt Gaetz allegedly asked for a preemptive pardon during President Trump's final weeks in office. Again, this is according to the New York Times. The paper reporting the request came as investigators from the DOJ began questioning Gaetz's associates about the allegations that he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old. Now, the Times quoted two sources who say Gaetz made a request for a group pardon. Gaetz, for his part, has been denying the allegations. Meantime, he seems to have lost a bit of his sizzle of late. Politico reporting the one-time recent rising star of the Republican Party and Trump loyalist, of course, isn't quite getting the same devotion in return from his colleagues inside the Beltway, including the right-leaning media. The 38-year-old is facing a string of salacious allegations, accusations, of course, about the 17-year-old, accusations that he was part of some bizarre Harry Potter-themed sex game, that he paid for sex using Apple Pay, that he would show colleagues shots of naked conquest on the House floor. Meantime, old actions are coming to light, including the fact that Gaetz was the lone holdout in passing a sex trafficking bill that came out earlier this week, and also that he fought an anti-revenge porn bill while serving in the Florida legislature because, according to former GOP colleague Tom Goodson, Gaetz thought pictures of his ex-lovers were his to use as he wanted.
Well, Governor Cuomo and state legislative leaders are announcing an agreement on the state budget. Yesterday, Cuomo said the upcoming budget was the most complicated and ambitious they've ever done. He says the budget is primarily an action plan. In addition, he said the budget will include green energy, affordable interest, and nursing home reform. As we've been covering, the budget agreement also includes a big tax increase, which makes the high-income earners in New York State the most taxed high-income earners in the entire country.
It's back. Well, not officially, but given the influx of migrants hoping for asylum at the Mexican border, word is the president is now considering restarting construction to fill in gaps along the southern border wall. The Biden administration has been struggling, clearly, trying to stem the steady record-breaking flow of humans trying to get in to the United States for whatever reason. Now the Washington Times reporting that a top DHS official says the new regime may be ready for drastic measures. The news comes after a heartbreaking video went viral Tuesday. Oh, man. It shows a young Mexican boy, we're not really sure where he's from, sobbing to Border Patrol agents along there on that Mexican border after he says he was abandoned in the desert overnight. The child looks to be about 6 or 7, and he tells the officer he was in a group without his parents, but they left him. He told the agents that he was scared of being kidnapped. It is absolutely horrific. I'll put it on my Twitter account, at Juliet Huddy TV.
Well, he has been the star of radio for a long time. He has been the star of the printed page with a best-selling book. And finally, he will be celebrated on the silver screen for the actor that he is. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome back our colleague, Sid Hollywood Rosenberg.
That's all me? I've done all that?
Yeah. You know, and looking very tan.
No one's more surprised than we are.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
How did you do?
I did great. I don't know how I did, but according to folks like Andrew Dice Clay and Armand DeSante and the folks that I've worked with, they said, and I quote, "We never would have known this was your first acting opportunity. You were that good.
Oh,
that natural,
God.
That good."
That is the
next
least
step, Emmy Award.
That is the least surprising aspect of this sportscast.
Well, I'm watching baseball. That may be surprising to some. I did speak to Greg Kelly on his show while I was away, and everybody's so upset about the All-Star game. I don't care. I'm watching the Mets every night. They won last night, the first game of the year. They're now 1-1. They beat the Phillies 8-4, did the Mets. And anytime Pete Alonso hits a home run, that's good news.
Side against Alonso. And he drives one of the air to deep left field. Back toward the wall. It's out of here. Pete Alonso.
with his first home run of the season. A two-run shot, and the Mets get some more distance.
Dominic Smith also his first home run. Six strong innings for Marcus Stroman. Again, the Mets get their first win of the year. The Phillies suffer their first loss. The Mets and Phillies will do it again later on tonight. The Yankees also used the long ball last night in beating Baltimore 7-2. Did a couple of home runs, including Aaron Judge.
That one's drilled deep to left field. There it goes. See ya. A long home run for Aaron Judge. A three-run shot. The Yankees break it open. They lead 7-0.
Michael Kay on the call, the Yes Network, WFAN, and Gary Cohn on the call before that. Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2. The real story was Gerrit Cole. Seven innings, zero runs, 13 strikeouts. Yankees and Orioles will do it again later on tonight. Big football news, of course, a couple of days ago. The Jets traded three-year quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. Jets will be taking a quarterback in the draft coming up. Here is Jets GM Joe Douglas on trading quarterback Sam Darnold.
Obviously, you know, having the number two pick in the draft, I think it's safe to say that, you know, if our pick was a little later, we wouldn't have be having this discussion right now. We'd fully be comfortable moving forward with Sam. And ultimately, we felt like this was a decision that was best for all parties.
No baskets last night on the ice. The Rangers doubled up the Penguins 8-4. The Isles skated past the Capitals 1-0, and the Devils suffered a 5-3 loss to Boston. Sports at 15:45. I'm Sid Rosenberg, and this is the WABC Early News.
And at 5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, on the Sawmill River Parkway, all lanes are closed in both directions between Farragut and Ashford Avenues. That because of repaving Staten Island bound Verrazano, that lower level, and Brooklyn bound upper level going to be closed. And again, that for the overnight road work. If you're on the Jersey Turnpike northbound, the Eastern Spur getting off at 15E, there is a fuel spill from an earlier accident. They're still working on that. If you're southbound on the Garden State Parkway down by exit 100, an accident, two lanes are out. And then on the Jersey Turnpike, the entire inner roadway also shut down on the overnight. That for road work. Now, mass transit, everybody so far so good. An alternate side is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Joseph, thank you. Coming up in Frank's Business Report, Amazon has its verdict on raising corporate taxes. It might surprise you. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, a hot spot for foodies, history lovers, antiquing, and presidential trivia, Frank. This National Heritage Area that'll bring you right back to the turn of the century.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:20. This is the 77 WABC Early News. The opening bell rings this morning after investors appeared to take a bit of a breather yesterday. One day after rallies led to closing records on the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. At yesterday's close, the Dow finished down 97 points. The S&P lost 4 to and the NASDAQ dropped 7. Amazon is delivering support for raising the corporate tax rate to pay for President Biden's more than $2 trillion infrastructure package. CEO Jeff Bezos said in a statement, the e-commerce giant recognizes the investment requires concessions from all sides, but he insisted it's the right time to work together to pass the measure. Biden has proposed raising the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%. Other groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable have shown opposition to the tax hike. Juliet.
And from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, it's going to be cloudy in the morning. We'll have peaks of sunshine sometime this afternoon, probably later in the afternoon. We'll have high, I would say, of about 70 degrees. Winds are going to be light, so it should be pretty decent outside if you want to go grab some lunch or maybe late breakfast.
That must be nice.
With your pals.
Enjoy it.
68 degrees tomorrow with mostly sunny skies. Friday, it's going to be a bit cooler, 59 degrees with clouds rolling in. Saturday, I'm not seeing any rain right now, which is decent news. It's going to be 63 and cloudy. But Sunday, we should have some showers coming in, and we'll hover around the 60 mark. So, you know, all in all for the weekend, it's not looking horrible, although 59 degrees is kind of lousy. We have new neighbors we just found out. Yes. And
have you inquired into their sexual preference?
No. Well, no, they're straight because our Gabe and Ned met them, and they one is a, I guess they seem to be younger, maybe in their 30s. One is the guy is Irish, and he is a musician, and he owns a studio in the city, which is really cool. My husband and him, they'll be friends. And the woman is an actress. It's supposedly very pretty.
Terrific.
So I'm going to have to blind my husband. Put some little.
Well, I'm not sure how that's relevant to the weather forecast.
I don't know. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Okay.
Just about my life.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I appreciate the update.
Really quickly, Reagan, Schwarzenegger, Trump, Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner allegedly is thinking about a run for California governor.
I think she would do very well.
I don't know. Axios reporting the 71-year-old is a high-profile Republican. Well, was a high-profile Republican. She supported President Trump in 2020. However, she told People magazine that she changed. She obviously no longer identifies as a male and no longer identifies as a Republican.
Oh, so Caitlyn Jenner's not a Republican anymore?
Apparently not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought
she
still was pretty conservative.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens,
yes,
that's for
exactly.
sure. New York City is adding a mobile unit to expand access to the coronavirus vaccine. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the mobile vaccine bus will be rolling through the five boroughs to administer doses to the city's most vulnerable residents, including the homeless and undocumented New Yorkers. Meantime, residents 75 and older can now walk in to 25 vaccine clinics without an appointment. That was up from just three. At least eight clinics are accepting walk-ins, and they're in Brooklyn, and six are located in Manhattan, with the Bronx and Queens each launching five.
Well, the guys, cowards, I mean, doormen of New York City who watched as a 65-year-old Asian woman was beaten by a murderous thug a few weeks back are now unemployed. You probably heard about this, but it's an interesting story. I think everybody has been kind of talking about it on social media. The Brodsky Organization owns luxury apartment buildings all over the city, and the group released a statement Tuesday saying it is clear, thanks to the horrific video, that the two men didn't follow emergency and safety protocols, and for that reason, they've been terminated effective immediately. The company says it's also working to connect with the victim and to stand up to Asian hate crimes.
Most New York City public school students are not required to take state assessments this year. Officials say parents of students in grades 3 through 8 will actually need to notify the school if they want to take the test. The Department of Education says if parents don't speak up, then their child is automatically opting out of the test and won't face any penalties. The DOE says the policy only applies to this school year since the coronavirus pandemic has been a roadblock.
Speaking of the children, young people are behind the incremental increases we've been seeing in COVID infections. New coronavirus cases in the U.S. rose for the third straight week, increasing by 5% to more than 450,000. Despite an average of 3 million people being vaccinated every single day, 23 states are seeing their numbers shooting up, including our states. CDC officials say infections among young people may be behind the surges. Dr. Robin Walensky says 18 to 24-year-olds who hadn't yet been eligible but feel indestructible, that's my editorializing that part, are where we're seeing the peaks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, hopefully that'll change now that they're eligible to receive the vaccine,
yeah,
as well. Live performances are making their way back to New York City. BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, kicked off its opening night with a performance of Le Patin Libre at Lakeside Prospect Park. Mayor Bill de Blasio was in attendance, saying when the cultural community comes back, all other things are possible.
Another celebration. Thankfully, the vaccination rollout is going sensationally. We give some credit to President Biden here. He announced we achieved another distribution milestone. So we've moved the date that all Americans can get their vaccine up 2 weeks from May 1st to April 19th. 34 states have already opened up to those 16 and under.
And New Jersey lawmakers are trying to figure out how to spend excess funds in this year's budget. The Garden State is set to receive more than $6.5 billion in federal funding, which leaves about $600 million extra dollars from collecting income and business taxes, along with over $4 million in borrowing. Senator Paul Sarlo, the Democratic head of the Senate Budget Committee, is proposing to invest the money over the next few years. He says the money won't just go to pensions and paying down debts, but neighborhoods as well.
So I don't know how to read this one. I could make some funny comments, but I probably shouldn't. Researchers say women who were going through stress around the time of conception, this is so interesting, were twice as likely to give birth to a girl. I have to say the pool was kind of small here. The experts tracked the stress levels in just 108 women from before conception to birth by measuring the cortisol in their hair. And those who had higher cortisol levels at the time surrounding conception more often had us girls. I'm not sure what it all means, except the scientists say it confirms how fetuses are vulnerable to the impact of maternal stress.
Wow. That
I wonder why girls, though.
Peculiar.
Yeah.
Never
would have guessed that. Maybe that's why we're so dramatic.
Could be. 527. Time for traffic and transit on the 7s with a man who never brings any drama to his traffic reports, the one and only Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Northbound Jersey Turnpike Eastern Spur getting off at 15E. There's a fuel spill from an earlier overnight accident. That's going to cause problems. Garden State Parkway southbound at exit 100, an accident. Two lanes are out both ways on the Sawmill. All lanes are closed from Farragut to Ashford Avenues with repaving. Staten Island bound Verrazano, that lower level is closed. That for overnight road work and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. This report, service of Indeed.com. Trouble hiring? Time to shift gears with Indeed. They go beyond the resume with over 135 skills tests that help candidates show their abilities on things like computer proficiency or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thanks, Joe. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, if you are one of the many people who want to plan a vacation but you don't want to be around a lot of other people, I have the perfect solution for you. But first, Deb has your headlines.
Here's what's happening from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine. A massive fire at an apartment building on 34th Avenue in Queens, Jackson Heights. 400 firefighters called to this 8-alarm fire on scene. Deputy Chief Michael Gallo.
Heavy smoke. You can't see. Heavy heat conditions. Very, very difficult operation.
Juan and his brother Jorge made it out from the top floor of that apartment building down a rickety, rusty fire escape.
It looked rickety, but that thought just completely left my mind because it was like life or death.
It was do or die time. The corridor was out. We had no other options. It was that or we die.
The cause under investigation, firefighters say they will be on scene for days. Well, there's more information about the tragic triple murder-suicide at the Van Dyke houses in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn. The lone survivor, the shooter's 9-year-old daughter, say the gunman, 46-year-old Joseph McCrimmon, according to police, a manslaughter convict, killed the girl's mother and her two sisters before killing himself on the 9-year-old's birthday. Police Commissioner Dermot Shea and James Essex, Chief of Detectives.
It would tear your heart out to see the young girl from that crime.
The body-worn camera of her calling 911 just breaks your heart. Where she's saying, Daddy's coming for my birthday. He didn't bring presents.
James McCrimmon, a manslaughter convict found dead in the street, his daughter found hiding in a closet. A COVID-19 memorial will be erected in New York City.
Governor Cuomo says a COVID-19 memorial will be built in New York City to honor the sacrifices of first responders and essential workers.
They saved the lives of New Yorkers. COVID was a war, and they were war heroes.
The design and location of the memorial is to be determined, with the committee currently in the planning stages. This essential workers monument will honor 17 groups of professionals, including medical workers, police, fire, retail workers, and people in construction, among others. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Two doormen on duty last week during a vicious attack against an Asian woman on 43rd Street have now been fired. That according to building management, the Brodsky Organization, following an investigation. These two men failed to come to the woman's aid during this attack, instead locking the building's door. Meanwhile, the alleged attacker, 38-year-old Brandon Elliott, was indicted by a grand jury on Monday. Elliott was on lifetime parole at the time of the attack after being convicted of killing his own mother back in 2002. Fox is next.
Shot and injured, and now the search is on for why.
That's something that our authorities are looking into to find out the relationships, why it began here, etc.
Brigadier General Michael Talley. The Navy identified the suspect in yesterday's shooting near Fort Detrick, Maryland, as Navy medic Fatahun Woldzenbet, One of the injured sailors may be released from the hospital today. And a Florida county south of Tampa lifts an evacuation order following an emergency at a wastewater plant.
Officials saying they've been able to drastically reduce the risk of what could have been a catastrophic flooding event in Manatee County after officials found a major breach in the Piney Point Reservoir.
Rafael Perez with Fox affiliate WSVN. America's listening to Fox News.
And informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's 77 WABC Early News. I'm Juliet Huddy along with Frank Morano. It is going to be a decent day today, weather wise, 70 degrees. It's currently 51 degrees, 53 degrees. I take that back. And coming up in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update, history, cemeteries, antiquing, lobster, Rockefellers, cute places to stay, waterfalls. We have it all right in our area.
Awesome.
Yes, and you don't have to be on top of each other. I mean, well, you, later on in the evening, I'm sure. But you know what I mean. Yeah, you don't have to be bumping elbows into, you know, people and humanity. So sorry. Why do I say things like that? Sometimes I have to edit myself. That's in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update at 5:30.
Wonderful. Well, let me tell you about a new list of the richest people in the world. It is out, and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is on top for the fourth year in a row.
Why do they do this? I feel like it's every 2 days they do this.
So do I. But he's followed. Here's, listen to what's interesting. He's followed on the 2021 Forbes billionaires list by SpaceX and Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Newcomers include Tyler Perry, Kim Kardashian, mm-hmm. and Kanye West. Also, the youngest billionaire. He's an 18-year-old from Germany and inherited his wealth from his dad. Another notable on the list is former President Trump, who dropped 298 spots.
Well, he's still up there, though.
Still in the Forbes.
So I would not be crying about anything if I were President Trump.
I think he's going to be just
fine. He's going to be okay. He is. Restaurateurs are going to have to play catch-up with ketchup. The demand for deliveries, food deliveries over the last year, obviously, created a run on the little ketchup packets. So now the thick red well of one of our nation's favorite condiments has run dry. Owners and managers are being forced to improvise to keep up with demand. Some of the more clever tactics included making their own little mini containers and handing them out. Has anybody seen this by chance? Like, is this, I feel like this is one of these stories that just, it sounds crazy, but
the ketchup shortage?
Like, is that, is, no, have you ever ordered and said, I can't get ketchup?
I don't really use ketchup, but I think that this is a real problem that people are experiencing all over the country.
Well, it's interesting because retail ketchup sales rose around 15% from 2019 to 2020. Obviously, with restaurants and bars reopening, the demand for smaller, little mini packets is skyrocketing since no one feels comfortable sharing the actual bottles in the middle of the table, obviously, anymore. Heinz is opening new manufacturing lines in April to bolster production, thank God, to try and stave off the shortage.
There's also a big problem with a bucatini shortage.
A what?
Bucatini, the pasta.
Oh.
Big shortage because people are using it as straws. People can't get plastic straws anymore, and they don't like the paper straws, so they're using bucatini as a straw, and people can't get it as pasta.
Does it really work?
Apparently it does.
But, I mean, pasta gets soggy. I guess it takes a while for it to get soggy.
It takes a while.
But then you have the taste of pasta when you're drinking your...
Sounds delicious.
Not when you're drinking, like, hot coffee or something.
Well, you wouldn't use a straw.
Or an iced coffee, I meant. Sorry.
Fair enough. A new study reports skin reaction side effects to the coronavirus vaccines are rare, brief, and not dangerous. Researchers say minor, though sometimes itchy and annoying reactions, often start a day or so after the vaccination, but can appear as long as 7 to 8 days later. The study author says none of the hundreds of reactions studied were life-threatening. The findings are in today's edition of the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology.
Royal update. Prince Harry following in the footsteps of his actress wife? Not really, but he's being tapped for a starring role on Netflix. The streaming giant announcing yesterday that part of their multi-million dollar deal, Harry and Meghan's with the network, includes a documentary series about, this is actually very cool and I want to see it. This is about Harry's pet passion, the Invictus Games. The show will be titled Heart of Invictus, and it's going to follow wounded veterans from all different countries as they compete in 9 different sports around the world with the ultimate competition, finalizing at the Hague. Crews will follow both the athletes and organizers as they prepare for the big event. It is not clear in what capacity the prince will appear on camera, but he'll also be joining on as an executive producer.
Very nice.
Yeah, this is really cool. Really cool.
5:37, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, a couple of issues on the New Jersey Turnpike, northbound the inner roadway closed, overnight road work, and then also northbound the eastern spur of the off-ramp at 15E. There's a fuel spill there. That also in the process of being cleared. Now, both ways on the Sawmill, all lanes are closed. Farragut to Ashford Avenues with repaving. Staten Island bound, again, horizontal closed, lower level, overnight road work. 34th Street out in Queens closed between 90th and 89th Street. That building fire of yesterday. And alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Once again, my cohort is stealing my fire. He's got an update on Carnival Cruise Lines.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
This is true. Only if you start dressing up like me will it really be freaky. But we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to give you a little bit of a weather update from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Today, we're going to get up to 70 degrees, although it is going to be cloudy. And crowdy maybe outside because people will want to see if the sun comes out at various locations around town. And on Thursday, it is going to be 68 degrees. So it gets a tad bit cooler, but the sun will be out, which is great. Friday, 59 degrees. We're going to drop about 10 degrees, but the clouds will start rolling in. It shouldn't be too bad, though, I have to say. Saturday, going to be 63 degrees and cloudy. And by Sunday, the weather should start getting a little icky. We're going to have some showers, maybe heading into Monday as well, with the temperatures dropping into the mid-50s. But currently, the temperature in New York City is 53 degrees.
All right. Well,
Frank,
import and export prices for February are due this morning, and analysts expect some slippage in both metrics. The experts are forecasting that imports will decline $3.3 billion to $256.9 billion, and exports will fall nearly $5 billion to $187.1 billion. Those numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning. And Carnival Cruise Lines is saying they may have to move from its U.S. ports in order to resume operations. Yesterday, the cruise liner canceled all additional cruises from American ports through June 30th. Carnival operates out of 14 different ports along the East and West Coasts and the Gulf of Mexico. The threat follows new guidance from the CDC published on Friday, which details new benchmarks cruise lines need to hit before carrying passengers. There's still no word on when the industry can restart in U.S. waters.
And it's interesting because Norwegian has just announced they sent a plan to the CDC basically saying, we're going to do this, this, this. And I told you about this yesterday. And if we do all this stuff, we plan on launching by the 4th of July. But we'll see what happens. It has to be approved. All right. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for more details, pictures, and information. With COVID fears still haunting most of us, I've heard a lot of folks talking about taking vacations that don't require them to be A, inside a lot, or B, around a lot of people. If you're one of these folks, here's my suggestion. Take a trip to one of America's great parks. Here are the top picks in our region, according to Moi. The Smoky Mountains. Okay, this is a little bit of a trek. You can drive down there, though. They cover North Carolina and Tennessee, and given so many of our friends and family, including my in-laws, have moved down to the Carolinas or to Nashville, you can kill two birds with one stone. The Smokies are famous for hiking, and the best time to visit is in the fall, when the only performance around are the leaves changing color, and tickets don't cost you a penny. Believe it or not, it is the most popular national park in all of America, but with roughly 530,000 acres, I guarantee you won't be bumping elbows with anybody. Follow the Roaring Fork Nature Motor Trail, where you and the kids can see historic farms, grist mills, and even get out and play in the rocky streams and the waterfalls. Second on my list is Acadia National Park up in Maine. This is a beautiful coastal playground that a lot of New Yorkers just don't know about. And you can explore it via car or hiking on its 158 miles of nature trails. Again, fall, perfect time to visit. But summer, especially later in the season, is also prime because you'll be able to take advantage of the restaurants and shops of Bar Harbor, which is a gorgeous little seaside town. You can go whale watching or chow down on freshly caught lobster, stay in one of the cute B&Bs, and pretend you're a Vanderbilt. The area started off as the family's exclusive resort, the Astors as well. The old cliche, Niagara Falls is for honeymooners, is so 20th century. The falls are considered one of the natural wonders of North America. Winter can be brutal here, so skip it if you hate freezing wind and snow. But then again, those falls are hauntingly beautiful then, too. And I cannot stop talking about the Hudson Valley. It's not a park. I mean, it's technically a National Heritage Area with vistas overlooking lakes and mountains. And, of course, you've got the Hudson River. But history lovers like me, this is your catnip, the people who lived here in the 17th and 18th centuries made our country what it is today. And you can find their mansions once owned by people like the Rockefellers, the Roosevelts, FDR's Presidential Library and Museum is up there. There's really great antiquing, and I have to say there's some excellent farm-to-table restaurants and bars and galleries. This is a great area any time of the year. And finally, closer to home, an area in which I used to live, Rockefeller State Park Preserve, is a quick drive north. Trails donated by the eponymous family back when I was going to Pocanico Hills Middle School there in Little Pocanico Hills. It's a beautiful area and never crowded. You can also take a quick trip over to Tarrytown, which is home of the legend of Sleepy Hollow. In fact, North Tarrytown, where I lived during the seventh grade when I went to Washington Irving Junior High School, it's now called Sleepy Hollow. You can visit the cemetery and the Old Dutch Church, Old Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, where you can see headstones dating back to the 1600s, along with the tombs of some pretty famous faces, including cosmetics maven Elizabeth Arden, famous socialite Brooke Astor, financier Andrew Carnegie, two of Alexander Hamilton's kids, real estate mogul Harry Helmsley and his wife Leona, once called the Queen of Mean, Standard Oil boss William Rockefeller, and the author of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow himself, Washington Irving. It's a really quick trip. It's just right up there and lots of cool little inns.
Everybody that I've spoken to that goes there really does like it. But where was the presidential trivia that was promised?
The FDR, Presidential Library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back
in
off,
New
Jack.
Park. All right. I'm just checking.
Yeah, man. Pay attention. Right.
Sorry. All right. Well, I thought I was going to get to answer a question. So
oh.
I got all excited.
All right. What is the college nearest to the presidential center there, the FDR center?
I don't know.
Marist.
Oh.
Okay. What is the...
they do those polls.
What is the town of Poughkeepsie famous for when it comes to the culinary scene?
Best drinking water in the state.
I did not know that. It's the Culinary Institute of America. It's up there.
All right.
I
didn't know that either. But I do know that I am very pleased to see our friend Sid Rosenberg back
here,
where he belongs. taking a break from his difficult schedule of filming television shows and movies.
Oh, I got some great pictures from you, Sydney.
Yes.
I can tweet them out, yes?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
I'd love for you guys
to
do that.
Well, we've got to also put them on our early morning show Instagram at 77 WABC Early News. You can see those photos. Meantime, Sid, what's happening in the world of sports?
Let's start with the Yankees. The boss. I am talking about Bruce, but not Bruce Springsteen, former Met Jay Bruce, now a New York Yankee, and he went yard in the Yankees' win over Baltimore last night.
Now, high fly ball, deep right field, Santander back on the track. He's at the wall. See ya! Home run, Bruce! That's why they got him. It's 1-0 Yankees.
Michael Kay on the call, courtesy of the Yes Network. Bruce gave the Yankees a 1-0 lead. Here was Jay Bruce on hitting his first home run as a New York Yankee.
Feels good to get the first one out of the way. You know, I've hit a few here before, but not as a Yankee, obviously. And good to jog around the bases and, get us on the board there, early on in the game. So it was good.
Aaron Judge, homer 2. Yankees clobbered the Orioles 7-2. Gerrit Cole, big outing, 7 innings, no earned run, struck out 13 along the way. The Yankees improved to 3-2. They're tied atop the AL East. Mets get their first win of the year yesterday, and the Phillies suffer their first loss. 8-4 the final. Mets again get the win. Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith both went yard for the Mets, but it was Marcus Stroman's day. The starter went 6 short innings for the Mets. got himself the win. Here was Marcus Stroman after the game.
I feel like that's whenever I've been good in my career, that's kind of been my forte, to be able to keep the ball on the ground, weak contact, keep the ball off the barrel. I've never been someone who necessarily prides myself on strikeouts. I feel like if I can get the guy to put the ball in play weakly, like I said, my hard hit percentage is usually pretty low, then that's usually the route I go to.
Mets and Phillies will do it again later on tonight. No local baskets last night. In hockey, the Islanders, another big win. Skate past the Capitals, 1-0. Here's Isles head coach, here's Isles player Brock Nelson on getting the win.
I think you have a game plan and maybe a script in your head on how things will go, and it probably doesn't turn out that way, you know, more often. So every game's going to be tough.
Rangers doubled up the Penguins 8-4. The Devils, they suffered a 5-3 loss to Buffalo. And again, Jet fans still reeling over the trading of the quarterback Sam Darnold to Carolina a couple of days ago. Looks like the Jets have their eyes on BYU quarterback Zach Wilson with the number 2 pick overall in the NFL draft. With sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News, I'm Sid Rosenberg.
And we've got our eyes on traffic and transit with Joe Nolan every 10 minutes on the 7s. How's it looking, Joe?
Well, a couple of issues on the New Jersey Turnpike northbound, the inner roadway closed overnight road work, and then also northbound the eastern spur of the off-ramp at 15E. There's a fuel spill there that also in the process of being cleared. Now, both ways on the Sawmill, all lanes are closed. Farragut to Ashford Avenues with repaving. Staten Island bound, again, horizontal closed, lower level overnight road work. 34th Street out in Queens closed between 90th and 89th Street. That building fire of yesterday and alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77. WABC.
5:48. Talks on reviving the Iran nuclear deal are said to be on track. U.S. and Iranian officials call yesterday's meeting constructive, but the Biden administration cautions no immediate breakthroughs were expected. One of President Biden's goals is to lift sanctions imposed under the previous administration and recommit Iran to its agreements. Iran's lead negotiator says they want it to happen in one move, rather than in stages. Now, just in, we are learning this morning that as these talks are going on, an Iranian cargo ship in the Red Sea off of Yemen has been attacked. That's according to Iran's foreign ministry. So this assault comes as Iran and world powers sat down in Vienna yesterday for the first talks about the U.S. potentially rejoining Tehran's nuclear deal. As we get more details on this attack on this Iranian cargo ship, we'll certainly bring them to you.
Well, we will not be traveling to Tehran anytime soon, I'm guessing. But traveling overseas is about to get fly. A few weeks ago, I told you about the new business and first class options being offered by JetBlue on their new transatlantic flights over to London. So now they've announced their plans for coach, which they say will, quote, reinvent what it's like to fly economy across the Atlantic. I got to tell you, this looks fantastic. Recline in, quote, spacious seats that feature the most legroom in coach and are wider than those found on most wide-body aircraft. You're also going to have access to high-speed Wi-Fi at no extra cost. They've even reimagined the meal service. Passengers are going to be able to build their own meal from a menu featuring seasonal proteins, veggies, and grains. But not only that, the items are sourced in part from minority and women-run farms. The flights to London could leave JFK for Heathrow starting August 1st.
Well, that's certainly good.
Yeah.
All right. And at 5:50, quite a bit happening that you need to know about, including a Michigan university that is now offering to pay its students to get a degree in cannabis chemistry. Lake Superior State University is partnering with Steadfast Labs to create an annual $1,200 scholarship. Steadfast Labs CEO Avram Zelen told CNN the company believes education plays a key part in making the weed industry more safe. The scholarship comes after the school became the first in the nation to offer a degree in cannabis chemistry in 2019. Applicants must be at least a sophomore, have at least a 3-point GPA.
Very quick, I forgot to mention with the JetBlue story that, just an aside, there could be another really great perk with this new route. Historically, when JetBlue enters an international market for the first time, other airlines drop their prices for the same route by about 12%. Yeah.
That is important for folks to know.
I love this one, too. If you're a true crime lover or if you're just a history freak, here is your catnip for the day. The infamous haunted house where Lizzie Borden allegedly murdered her dad and stepmom with an axe back in 1892.
I remember it well, is now a quaint bed and breakfast. Isn't that charming? The house, which is quite charming, I have to say, is in Fall River, Massachusetts. If staying in a house where people were chopped to death with an axe isn't your thing, they do open the place up just for hour-long tours at $25 a pop.
All right.
Yeah.
Would you pay the $25 to go?
That sounds like a lot of money for a tour of a house.
All right. Well,
but, if, you know, it could be fun.
If you are a true crime junkie, then listen to this. If you are an addict of all true crime documentaries, Magellan TV may have a job for you. Ooh. After offering a single person $1,000 last year, they're upping the ante in 2021. This time, they're offering $2,400 for three people to watch 24 hours of true crime documentaries and write about their experience on social media. If you're interested, you better hurry. Applications are being accepted until May 5th.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, do you have to watch it like 24 hours in a row?
I think you do.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they're doing a sort of some sort of study as to what happens after, you know, you start getting tired and you watch scary things.
Does it make you murderous? I mean, I think it's just a publicity stunt, but, you know, most people probably won't become murderers.
Brilliant. Well, most people, you never know, though. Turns out family dinner time is not only good for the soul, it's good for your health. Researchers studied families and their eating habits, and they found sitting around a table, having positive conversations while sharing food and without devices there to distract us, lowers your risk of getting fat, especially for kids. Experts say it's because the children tend to eat slower when they're not distracted with tech and when they're talking to their family members, and that allows them to recognize when they're full.
A Knoxville man is being awarded a Guinness World Record for his Funko Pop collection. David Mabane applied for the world record during the pandemic. Mabane apparently needed a 17-hour video to showcase each of his 17,095 different figures as of November of 2020. He said his collection continues to grow, and he averages about 20 to 30 new ones per week, so he expects to have more than 8,000 soon.
All right, mock gingers all you want, blondes and brunettes. But researchers say redheads have a higher pain threshold than blondes or brunettes. The reason is that cells that produce pigment in the skin lack a certain receptor, I guess, when you're a redhead. It not only stops redheads from tanning, but it also has a hormonal effect which gives them a higher threshold for pain.
I have heard this, and I've asked other redheads I know about this. And many of them have said that is true for them, including I had a redheaded waitress one time who said that she needs extra Novocaine when she goes to the dentist as compared to the dentist's other patients. But my wife is a redhead, and I can tell you in her case, it is absolutely not true.
Oh, your wife is a redhead?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hmm. Wait, she needs extra Novocaine. Well, that would mean that she's got that. How is that a high threshold?
No, that's this waitress,
right.
This redheaded waitress, because...
I need extra Novocaine.
That's because... Well, I don't know.
I know. I'm confused, too.
Yeah. But,
did I confuse you? I think
you did.
Yeah, I did. I confuse myself, too. Every day.
I'm not offering it for the truth of its content, just for the fact that it was said.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, a New York woman, no idea if she's a redhead or not, is celebrating after a trip to see her brother won her $1 million prize. The 57-year-old woman told Florida lottery officials she bought a scratch-off ticket in Florida, but forgot about it until she got home. Once she found out her lottery ticket was a $1 million winner, she realized she had to go back to Florida to claim her prize. She plans to use the money to pay off her brother's house.
Oh, that's, wow. That is so sweet.
Very nice.
Wow. Would you ever do that for your brother or sister?
I have three. Right? The three half-siblings.
Let's take two of them away.
Yes, then I absolutely would.
You'd use the money to pay. That is very
sweet.
If it
was for my favorite half-sibling, yes.
Oh, you have a favorite?
Yes.
Wow. Do they know that? Do the other ones know that?
It's implied, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Jeez. It's hardcore. So a lot of you are planning on traveling. Those of you who haven't been traveling, you're planning on traveling now because you're starting to feel safer. Maybe you got the COVID vaccine. And there was apparently a tracking study of American travelers or potential travelers. And it found 88% have travel plans in the next 6 months. That is the highest level in more than a year. And the research also found that less than a third of travelers
are willing to visit a tourism attraction or some sort of business that does not have clear COVID safety protocols, such as mask requirements and social distancing. I've been saying this. This is what all of these travel outlets that are doing these studies say. They're like, look, people who are ready to travel, they're saying, yeah, we'll come to your property, but you better have all these protocols.
Right.
Like set up, and we want to see them, and we want everything sanitized. Definitely, despite the images of people not wearing masks and so forth, most people are saying, yes, we want things to be COVID safe.
5:57, time to check in with Joe Nolan. Get a look at traffic and transit on the sevens. How's it looking, Joe?
Well, you shouldn't have to wait too much longer on the Sawmill. All lanes were closed overnight, and they're in the process of getting that out of the way between Farragut and Ashford Avenues. Now, we still have, though, the lower level of the Verrazano to Staten Island shut down. That also has only got about 10 minutes left on it, as is the northbound Jersey Turnpike, that inner roadway. Overnight road work, that should be reopened shortly. And then also, as you travel out onto the Jersey Turnpike northbound, the eastern spur, getting off at 15E, that fuel spill and alternates out of the street parking rules are in effect. This support a service of America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. The exam alone is worth $50, and that's just not a better deal. It's America's Best. Book your exam online today. In certain states, eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
I have that update for you. I know you've been very worried about the women who posed naked on the balcony in Dubai.
I'm very concerned about
Yes.
That.
Well, there were about 40 women who were part of this whole shoot, but a lot of the shoot happened inside a suite in this elite skyscraper. So they weren't the ones that were really in trouble. It was the ones, there were about 15 or 20 that were out on the balcony completely naked. You might have seen that.
For research.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, apparently, I don't know if some of them left or some of them got out of the country quickly, but there were only 11, it turns out, that were detained. And now we're finding out that after a very speedy investigation, Dubai's attorney general said that those behind the photo shoot are just going to be deported to their home countries, which I think is very good news.
Absolutely.
They're not going to be stuck because, you know, some of these Muslim countries can be a little strict when it comes to public decency.
Absolutely. These women are international treasures.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, sure they are.
Tom Brady is getting into the NFT game. The 7-time Super Bowl champion is helping launch an NFT platform called Autograph. NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, are unique, unlike Bitcoins. However, both are digital content linked to the blockchain. Recently, rock group King of Leon released their latest album.
Kings of Leon.
What did I say? Kings of
King of Leon.
Didn't I say Kings?
You said King.
I said King. Okay. Kings of Leon released their latest album as an NFT.
Mm, they're a great band.
Well, and they're at the top of the non-fungible token game.
I'm actually really sad to read this story because there was a guy, and I'll tell you about it. He was a very famous face who has passed away. We'll be talking about it at the top of the hour when we go to 77 WABC's early news at 6 o'clock. Here are the headlines. Stay with us.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC early news on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. It is the middle of the week. It's all downhill from here. You make it through today and the weekend is right around the corner. I'm Frank Morano.
I don't look at it that way.
Don't you?
No. No, I don't. Okay. I feel like, oh my, wow, there's still 2 more days that we have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you have to get up at 10 o'clock at night, or whatever it is. That's how I look at it. Although I do, honest to God, God is my witness. God says my witness. I do love working with you.
Oh,
this is a really
here.
Fun show. I'm having a great time. And I'm Juliet Huddy, by the way. Deb is following breaking news. Christian and John are at controls. Why are you saying no, Christian? You're there?
I was just saying just me.
Oh, okay. Well, John's there too, though. I'm confused.
Hold on, I'm here too.
Yeah, exactly. John's there too.
John's
by the way,
setting up for the morning show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little fraudulent.
I gave my thorough review on Monday, but I must give again a hats off to both John and Christian for the excellent job they did filling in on the Sunday Sid Rosenberg Sports Show.
Yeah, I know why you did that just now, because you know that I didn't listen.
Well, also, John,
that's kind of lame.
John asked
Frank.
For Frank's opinion, not to get off topic here, but John asked for Frank's opinion about the show, and he goes, I reviewed it on the radio. You can listen there.
Yeah. I will never understand people that expect private radio shows to be done for them. You know, there's a reason I spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to say on the radio and preparing for it so that people will listen to it.
Did you think last night, you know what, when Juliet gets here and when I see John and Christian together, I'm going to put her on the spot and, you know, make myself look really good. Oh, we got to go to traffic. Sorry. Traffic on the sevens. I see what you did. You set me up.
Joe, this would be the equivalent if you're walking down the hallway and John stops you and says, well, Joe, how's the traffic? After you just did the traffic 10 times in a given hour. I mean, you wouldn't stand for that, would you, Joe?
Well, good news on the New Jersey Turnpike northbound of 15E. That earlier fuel spill that was there has now been cleared up and out of the way. All lanes have been reopened again. That was from an earlier disabled truck. Now, starting to build a little bit inbound on the LIE coming in through the area of the Van Wyck in through Queens Boulevard. Also, the same thing as you travel southbound on the BQE down towards the Williamsburg Bridge. And then on the inbound side, coming away from Industry City all the way on up to the Brooklyn Bridge, that stop-and-go rubber banding kind of traffic. Now, mass transit, everybody there on or close to schedule, an alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Joe, just he doesn't want to get in the middle of it.
He's clearly unflappable.
Unflappable, exactly. By the way, in just a moment, Italy finally crumbles to the calls of cruise critics everywhere. We're going to tell you about that. But first, the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center forecast. Today is going to be a decent day. It's going to be cloudy early on with peaks of sunshine expected later in the afternoon with a high of about 70. Tomorrow, we dip down into the 60s, the high 60s, though, and we are going to have mostly sunny skies, so it should be a beautiful day. Man, yesterday and the day before, absolutely beautiful. Loved it. Friday, unfortunately, the weather is going to take about a 10-degree dip down to the 50s, and the clouds will start to roll in, but it doesn't look like we're going to see any rain on Friday or on Saturday when we have 63 degrees as a high. But Sunday, that's when the showers should start to come in and they'll lead into Monday and the rest of the work week. But currently, the temperature is 53 degrees in Manhattan.
All right. We have sports with Sid Rosenberg coming up at 6:15. And a 7-year-old in Arkansas is getting a fresh wardrobe after making a request to Old Navy. Bentonville first grader Cameron Gardner wrote a letter to the company explaining she doesn't like how the pockets of the girls' jeans are fake. She asked if they would consider making jeans with real front pockets so she could put her hands and other things in them. Old Navy responded and thanked Cameron for her feedback. They also sent her 4 pairs of jeans with real pockets.
How nice. She's like a little Meghan Markle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, without the wealth
drama.
And complaining.
Well, stop it. All right. Don't tread on us. Governor Greg Abbott is the second state leader to ban vaccine passports. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made the same move last week. Abbott says Texans should not need proof to go about their daily lives, or they shouldn't have to reveal private health information. Earlier this week, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the feds were not planning on mandating documentation of COVID vaccines. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reiterated Fauci's comments yesterday during her Tuesday briefing.
Now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. As these tools are being considered by the private and nonprofit sectors.
Yeah, many business owners do want the option of deciding for themselves whether to allow people who haven't been vaccinated to, you know, come into their businesses or enter their properties. Meantime, some companies who rely on customers or their workers from other countries are worried because not every country has the ability to distribute vaccines yet. Demanding proof of a vaccination, they say, is unfair because of that.
And the founder of the website TurboVax, which makes it easier for New Yorkers to find vaccine appointments, is being honored. Mayoral hopeful Andrew Yang and Congressman Richie Torres praised Huge Ma, the engineer behind the system. Torres says Ma managed to do what federal and local governments have failed to do with better resources. Ma is also using his notoriety to raise money for anti-Asian violence.
I teased this earlier. Some sad news out of Hollywood. You would definitely recognize him from the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince movie, Quantum of Solace, and the fabulous series Chernobyl. Did you see that?
Not yet. It's on my list.
Good.
It's supposed
to
be great.
So good. Yeah, the acting is incredible. Actor Paul Ritter has passed away. He was only 54. He died Monday of a brain tumor, according to his agent. He was at home surrounded by his wife and sons.
That is awfully sad. Unbelievable.
54, that's it.
That is sad. Oh, boy. All right. Well, community members are rallying around the lone survivor of a murder-suicide in Brooklyn. Deb Valentine alluded to this earlier, and it's a story we're going to be following all day. But it was Monday night at the Van Dyke Houses when a 9-year-old girl celebrating her birthday was forced to call police from a closet after her father, 45-year-old Joseph McCrimmon, allegedly shot his longtime girlfriend before turning the gun on himself. As a result of the rampage, McCrimmon, 45-year-old Rashida Barzi, 20-year-old Solai Spears, and 16-year-old Chloe Spears all died. Oh, police officers joined with residents in prayer last night, saying they're going to make sure the girl gets through this tragic event.
All right, we'll talk about some happier news now. For years now, the cruise industry has been browbeaten by residents of the glorious Italian town of Venice. The problem is the city is sinking, as you know, and locals are pointing fingers at one thing, the mighty cruise ship. See, the ancient city was built on wooden pilings in a lagoon, but experts say the massive cruise ships there, they're coming in and out, and they're stirring up the sediment below the watery boulevard that leads to the city's port, and that's creating erosion at a faster clip than ever before. Various groups have staged protests, including one headed up by my friend Francesco DeMosto, who I'm going to have actually on our the show at about 5:30 when we have our newsmaker segment. Going to have him on. His ancestors were part of Italy's nobility, and his wife Jane, who is the daughter of British actress Dame Maggie Smith of Downton Abbey, they have been working together to try to get cruise ships banned. And happily, I can confirm that their wave making, along with the cries of the local populace and local leaders, have finally been heeded. Italy this week announcing it will officially ban the big ships from traveling in and out so the most serene republic can be at peace once again.
Well, that is certainly good news.
Yes.
And early this morning, state lawmakers passed a $212 billion budget deal that includes close to $4 billion in new taxes, gives the green light to legal sports betting, and will give unemployment benefits to some illegal immigrants. The budget got the thumbs up around 4 o'clock this morning. It will raise taxes on the state's highest earners and big businesses. Individuals earning more than $1 million a year and couples earning more than $2 million a year will see the biggest income tax hikes. Some lawmakers say the new tax increases will push more of the state's wealthiest out of the state. They also fear that big businesses will move down south where corporate taxes are lower. Sports betting across the state could begin in time for the NFL season this fall.
And it is time now for Sid Hollywood Rosenberg, just
good
back from his big trip.
Morning,
down
everybody.
Florida.
How
welcome
are
back.
You?
Yes. Welcome back.
Sports betting, NFL season. Thank you, Julia.
Yes,
great
you're
to
welcome.
See you. Great to see you, Frank.
Likewise.
Nice to be back in New York where the city is falling apart, leaving Miami where everything is great. Hey, sports, good night, though, for New York last night. Won just about everything. Let's start with the Yankees. Aaron Judge is at the plate. That means all rise.
That one's drilled deep to left field. There it goes. See ya. A long home run for Aaron Judge. A three-run shot. The Yankees break it open. They lead 7-0.
It's our friend Michael Kay, Yes Network on the call. The Yankees blew out the Orioles last night, 7-2. Jay Bruce, also his first home run as a Yankee. The big story, though, Gerrit Cole, 7 strong innings, no runs, struck out 13 along the way. The Yanks improved to 3-2. They'll play Baltimore again tonight. Metsies, only their second game of the year. Their first series against Washington postponed due to COVID, and they get their first win, and their superstar home run hitter, Pete Alonso, he went yard as well.
Side against Alonso. And he drives one in the air to deep left field, back toward the wall. It's out of here! Pete Alonso with his first home run of the season. A two-run shot, and the Mets get some more distance.
That was Gary Cohen, SNY. Dominic Smith, also a home run. Strong outing for Mets starter Marcus Stroman. He goes 6. Mets doubled up the Phillies 8-4. Mets improved to 1-1. Phillies suffered their first loss of the season. They fall to 4-1. A couple days ago, the Jets traded their third-year quarterback, first-round draft choice Sam Darnold, to Carolina. The Jets pick number 2 in the draft. You know they're taking a quarterback. But here's GM Joe Douglas on the Darnold trade.
Obviously, you know, having the number 2 pick in the draft, I think it's safe to say that know, if our pick was a little later, we wouldn't have be having this discussion right now. We'd fully be comfortable moving forward with Sam. And ultimately, we felt like this was a decision that was best for all parties.
Get ready for the Zach Wilson era in New York with the Jets. Hockey last night, Rangers 8-4 over Pittsburgh. The Islanders shut out the Capitals 1-0, and the Devils, they suffered a 5-3 loss to the Sabres. With sports at 15 and 45, for the WABC Early News, I'm Sid Rosenberg.
Thank you very much, Sydney Hollywood Rosenberg. It is time for traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan.
Northbound at the Clearview, right by the LIE, there's an accident working on that. Bruckner northbound on the elevated portion. Approaching the drawbridge, there is some construction. Also, we're going to have a little bit of a delay now building up. Yeah, stop-and-go stuff. Inbound, Gowanus BQE, Industry City up to the Brooklyn Bridge. Transit Authority, the Uptown A trains are on the express tracks from Aqueduct up to 80th Street. That would switch trouble, and alternate side is in effect. The supportive service of Exergen. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase. Just at any retailer. Accuracy matters when taking temperature. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Frank's business report is coming up momentarily, talking about spending online. Is this going to be some mind-blowing number that we're going to get? We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, from your Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, we have a forecast for you. It's going to be a decent day. See, today, every single report I've been giving, I see just a cloud. But today, just moments ago, they just put a cloud with a little sun peeking out. So I guess that means we're going to see some sunshine a little bit more prevalent than we had thought earlier. 70-degree temperatures. Again, cloudy in the morning with peaks of sunshine in the afternoon. On Thursday, the temperature drops down just a tad to 68 degrees, but we're going to have lots of sun. By Friday, though, the clouds roll in and the temperature drops about 10 degrees down to 59 degrees. I know. Saturday, we'll have cloudy skies and a high of about 63. And Sunday, we should have some showers, and those will lead into Monday and the work week. Sydney, I'm so sorry. Frank, don't cry. It's okay.
I'm going to be all right.
It's going to be okay.
All right. Well, let me tell you what's happening business-wise before we find out the good, the bad, and the ugly of Sid Rosenberg's filming of Gravesend in Florida back today. You will hear the full report beginning at 6:30. But the shift to online shopping is starting to rapidly increase. A new report from the MasterCard Economics Institute shows consumers around the world spent $900 billion more at online retailers in 2020 compared to the prior two-year trend. About one out of every $5 spent on retail globally was purchased online last year, compared to one out of every seven in 2019. The report notes that grocery stores and discount retailers will see the biggest and longest-lasting change to online shopping, as they also had the most room for growth in online retail before the pandemic, Juliet.
All right. It is time now for the man, the myth, the legend, Sidney Hollywood Rosenberg.
You know, that Hollywood thing has caught on pretty nicely. When I was coming home yesterday, lots of folks on social media, at Sid Rosenberg Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg Instagram, Facebook, welcome back Hollywood. So your thing has caught on nicely.
Look, I mean, it's the shoe fits. So, okay, but it was a great experience. Your colleagues, your co-stars told you
his
that
fellow
they
actors.
Couldn't believe, yeah, the fellow actors.
Yeah, that's right.
They could not believe that this was your first foray
right
into the acting world.
Right. Now, they didn't have to say that. You know, listen, when you asked the question, how'd you do? You know, I'm going to tell you what they said. They could have easily said, oh, it was great. You know, nice to have you. They did say that, a few of them. So that was very, very nice. It's an odd thing. I shot for 9 hours on Friday with Dice. Me and Dice were together all day Friday. We shot for 9 hours. We did two scenes, two. Television, folks out there that have done it know this. It's a lot of standing around and waiting. Mm-hmm. So you wait like an hour and you film a scene, and then the director goes and looks at the playback and he likes this, he doesn't like that. And we did the same scene over and over again, 10 to 15 times. Did the same thing on Monday when I filmed once again with Dice and William DeMeo and Leo Rossi and Armand DeSante. So it's a lot of standing around, fixing makeup, watching playback. And eventually, after the 20th time, they say, okay, good to go.
So he's acting like it's not all glamorous.
Right.
It's not.
I mean,
it's not.
Right. How is craft
services? That's how his people are.
I got to tell you, the first scene I shot on Friday is a scene where Andrew Dice Clay and William DeMeo, the star of the show, are walking the beach, and they're having this real serious mob talk. And I'm Dice's buddy. I'm holding an umbrella. And Chris, my buddy Chris Mamondo, he's an actor. He's holding the Mayo's umbrella. So the four of us are walking down the beach. It had to be 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. We're all dressed in long shirts and long pants. We're holding umbrellas. We must have shot that scene 25 times.
Oh,
by the time I got back to my trailer, I was beat red, much better than this. That was cool, though, showing up on Friday morning and seeing a trailer with my name on it next to Dice.
You had trailer.
That is neat.
Yeah.
That is pretty neat.
That's so cool.
And the girls came in with more food. You want drinks? You want food? What do you want? What can we do? Wardrobe comes in. Makeup comes in. It's an experience.
It sounds awful.
Are you not going to be talking about this on the show today?
Oh, of course. They're not going to want me to. They're going to want to talk about Cuomo and Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game to Denver and tax hikes and how horrible New York is. But in an effort to save some sanity across the state, you're going to hear about me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously. Why not? I mean, happy things in life.
Oh, that's right.
And so, now we shoot again. They're there till May 6th. I was a little jealous. A lot of these actors got their end of March. They're staying till May 6th. They wrap up Miami that day, and then the third week of May, we start shooting in Brooklyn. That's when I return to the set with four more episodes.
Have you received your vaccine yet?
I have not, no.
You better go get that.
Yeah, you know, I got tested every day. On the set, they actually test you, and I had a test 3 days before. But I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
It's definitely open.
Yeah, it's definitely open, and you should do that because – God help you. You get all of a sudden you test positive and then you can't do all of this.
I can't do anything. Right.
Yeah, you would kill yourself.
I will say this.
That happens sometimes. People be right before as they're becoming big stars.
Yeah.
Something bad happens.
Yeah, they find they have a brain tumor.
Look, Chadwick Boseman became the biggest star in the world with Black Panther.
And then he died.
So it happened.
Yeah.
Fred Gwynne finally got to escape the typecast as Herman Munster.
He died.
It happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Fred Gwynne was like 95 years
Heath
old.
Heath Ledger finally got the Academy Award nomination.
He did OD. I mean,
yeah, I mean, these are different things. Well,
right. No, but it could happen. You're exactly right. Thanks for putting me in that category. You know, I will say this. I was in Palm Beach County in December. I went to Boca for New Year's and Christmas. And now I was in Miami. And the difference, and you can appreciate this, you live there. The difference is night and day. Being in Miami, I felt like I was in New York. People very upset about masks. You know, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. It was very much like New York. In Boca, they don't care what you do. I walked in and out of the Boca Resort. No one said anything about a mask once.
I wonder if that's because they had access to getting, because Boca tends to be a bit older, so people might have already had their vaccines.
Well, Boca is also a much more conservative. Miami is very Democrat, very. The mayor is Democrat in both Miami Beach and Miami. So that's how they operate. Mm-hmm. It's like being under Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo's rule. Mm-hmm. So the difference in that 40-minute trip, night and day. But 85 and sunny. The beach was beautiful. Not a bad place to be.
Well, it's going to be 70 degrees with peaks of sun today.
Sid. It is?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sid, I hate to draw your attention to trivial matters, but like? What is coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
You said trivial matters, not me.
Yeah, well, it's not the Hollywood lifestyle you're now accustomed
no,
to.
No, it's not. I got a text from Congressman Peter King 2 days ago because Craig Kelly wanted me to come on the show from Miami on Monday.
Big happy birthday to him this week, 77.
Is that Peter? Is that right?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Peter King.
Happy birthday.
Talking about happy birthday, today happens to be my oldest child, my only daughter, Ava. Her 17th birthday is today.
Oh, my gosh. Today. Happy birthday, Ava.
Thank you.
Wow.
17 today.
Oh, boy.
So Peter's going to stop by today. He's upset about the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Not enough upset yet to stop watching the Mets, like me, but he's upset. And then we'll talk to somebody from Newsmax. Every Wednesday we get a Newsmax host. That's basically going to be it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a great show.
Your daughter shares a birthday with Francis Ford Coppola.
Is that right?
Yes,
right?
That's true.
Maker.
83?
You should know that in your fellow Hollywood.
Well, he
crowd.
Has. No. He has called me.
Naturally.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Once and for Godfather 4.
I hung up on Scorsese yesterday.
82 years old. All right, so stay tuned. Congressman Peter King, along with more tales from Florida and the set of Gravesend. That should be a fun show on the Bernie and Sid show from 6:30 to 10.
One really quick story. A day after the former president displayed himself at his new office down at Mar-a-Lago, complete with shots of beautiful shots of Air Force One and Marine One going by the
Capitol?
No, the four presidents, Mount Rushmore. Jeez. Oh man, I'm getting old.
Well, no, it's the end
boy,
of a long show.
Boy, it's scary. Vice President Kamala Harris shows off her own Resolute desk. This is actually very cool. It's a magnificent piece of furniture. It's like a piece of history. The desk is made from wood, copper, and nails off of the USS Constitution warship. In fact, the piece arrived on the day, same day back in 1974, that President George Washington signed the Naval Act, which authorized the construction of the ship. Yeah.
Wow.
And not only that, the pen tray On the desk contains a piece of metal from the USS Arizona, which of course sunk at Pearl Harbor. The sturdy table was built by the famous Seabees at their base in my old stomping grounds, Port Hueneme, California.
All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Always.
But the Bernie and Sid show is next. We're going to be back tomorrow from 5 a.m. to 6:30 on the 77 WABC Early News.
And now it is time for Traffic on the Sevens with our buddy Joe Nolan.